Good afternoon, and welcome to ZenTech here at KVMR FM, Nevada City.
We have a website that is actually starting to do useful things.
Yes.
And that website...
Very much thanks to you, Paul, zen.kvmr.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to reach us for any reason, we're zen@kvmr.org. A couple of very easy ways to get a hold of us.
We figured a very clever thing to do, which is I normally load my homework, which is the spot that I come up with at the beginning of the show every 2 weeks when ZenTech goes on. And the homework is odds and ends and snippets that have showed up in the period between the last show and this show. Also, it includes notes to get back to people. Well, I usually put that on my PDA, which is my Palm TX, which I love, little Palm Pilot organizer.
Yes.
And instead, I put it on the website now. So if you go to zen.kvmr.org and you click shows, as Paul's homework comes up at the top of the screen, which is the things we mean to talk about. Wonderfully, today, I forgot to bring my laptop in, so I Glenn's looking at my homework and prompting me. Since the last show came up, one of my clients told me about what appears to be a very, very good online backup service. If people remember out there used to be a service called xDrive, where you could get an internet-based host for a drive on your machine called X, where you'd save things to this thing called xDrive, and it would go up on the internet. As far as I know, that site's still around, xdrive.com, but I heard complaints about service and so on.
Okay.
Do check out, no, why not, carbonite.com, and it's under the homework there on the page with today's show notes, under zen.kvmr.org shows today's show notes. There's even a countdown that says there's no days left till the show. After the show, if I remember, I will reprogram it to say there's 14 days till the next show.
Mm-hmm.
If I forget, it will say there's -1 and then -2 and then -3 days
till
the next
show. We've gone into the netherlands of the past.
Sure, so try carbonite.com, why not? And out there, there's a trial account, and it allows you for, I believe, about $5 a month to synchronize the My Documents folder on your machine up to an internet-based backup service.
And I'll tell you what, based on my experience, and I'm pretty sure Paul's too, $5 a month is really not a whole lot to spend for having your files automatically backed up and having
right.
them someplace other than on your hard drive in your home, on your computer in your home. Because to have someone come out and try to retrieve that, if it's retrievable, at some point in the future when and if something goes wrong with your computer, can be costly. Yeah, Carbonite will automatically back up your PC over the internet for $5 a month, nonstop, unlimited automatic backup over the internet. Now, you don't get unlimited storage. It looks like it's 50 gigabytes of photos or information backed up for a lousy $5 a month, they say.
I'm not going to say that should be more than enough for anyone. If you're the sort of person that does videos... Oh, that's my phone going.
No, it's mine.
No, it's your phone.
Yeah, mine. Yours doesn't sing that song except when I'm calling you.
And you're not calling me?
No. I don't know who's calling me. Oh, well.
We can do this on this show. Normally they say don't draw attention to mistakes. And well, listen, might as well enjoy it. Village people.
Exactly. Oh, I was going to ask people if they could remember what that was.
Oh, sorry, Glenn.
That's okay.
All right, who's the artist?
Yeah.
The names of the individuals concerned.
Oh, my gosh, I only remember one of them. And it's an easy name to remember.
Glenn, nostalgia is not what it used to be.
But you got it right.
I did?
His name is Glenn, the leather man.
Oh! And the other ones? Come on, the Indian,
I have no idea.
There you go. Amnesia is a terrible thing. I can't even remember what it is. What's the difference between ignorance and indifference?
I don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't care.
That's a good one.
What were we talking about? Online backups.
Online backups. Mm. And then I also went to xDrive, so you can look there, and it says... xDrive, get it now. It's free, up to 5 gigabytes.
Does
it
say xDrive?
Space and save a secure copy of your photo collection, home videos, music, and any other digital files. And that's at xDrive.com.
Okay, that's the long-standing one. It goes back a ways. And I know people have used that and were satisfied with it, but I think they became a victim of their own success,
mm-hmm.
which is when these companies become very successful, they have to buy more bandwidth and more servers. And if they don't do that in a timely manner, and they're a company that's... And their operations based on loans, it becomes a problem to say to the shareholders or investors, we've got to buy more bandwidth and stuff. Yeah, xDrive.com and carbonite.com for online backups. It is a trial-based system so you can get a free account and do stuff to see if it suits your needs. And as usual, caveat emptor, buyer beware, we're just suggesting something you might try out.
Right.
Don't entrust your business to it.
The views and opinions you hear on this show are those of the speaker or speakers only and not necessarily those of KVMR staff, board of directors, management, or underwriters.
Cool. Excellent. And the other link that's on that page, which you have to read off, there's some sort of costume party going on here. It's the community radio station entertaining.
Okay.
That's good. Somebody with purple hair?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Edie.
That wasn't Edie. I don't think so, no.
No. And the other link we had was Chewed Facts, was it?
Let's go check and see. Yes, www.chewednews.com.
Chewednews.com.
Chewednews.com.
And who was the... What was the name of the gentleman that... is right after
Andrew says yeah. Andrew sent that information in.
Yeah, we got an Andrew that sent that in to us, and I looked at the website, and I was quite amused about the news articles that Andrew has posted on chewednews.com, because he's obviously very tickled by what I'd call cognitive dissonance, which is he puts contrasting pieces of news items together. I won't explain what they are, but they're very short paragraphs and very amusing items there. They would be amusing if some of the topics weren't so serious, and folks out there know what I'm talking about, but chewednews.com. Lots of fun.
Okay.
What else have we got now?
Let's see. For homework, let me go back and check the site.
We have got a caller, by the way, so we could use homework as fillers.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and take that caller?
Glenn's doing it with his computer.
I can do that with a computer here.
Go for it, Glenn.
And we're going to go next. And good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air. Please turn your radio down. Hi.
I love it when they talk over my head.
Hi.
I am.
Are we talking over your head?
Always.
I'll bring it back down to Earth. This is the Celestial Clarity Show, not the Earth Mystery Show.
I have the technological aptitude of a carp and want to keep it that way. But I appreciate all that you're doing.
That
so I have a very technical question. As both of you know.
Why do dogs have black lips? That's what you're going to ask.
Well, I know the answer to that.
Oh, you do? What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I'm not telling.
Okay.
What's the name of one other member of the village people?
Oh, my God.
Come on. No, that's not
oh
it.
Oh, my God. Bruce.
Was it?
That's a good guess.
We don't know if you're wrong.
Yeah, probably Adam and Steve, too. Well,
not married
right, let's get serious. Why did you call us today?
Oh, my very technical question, as you both know, is caveat emptor in mind. I want to know where in Western Nevada County I can get a really good price on a Mac laptop and a little digital camera.
Well, I'll tell you what. In Western Nevada County, I'm not sure that there are any outlets that sell Mac computers.
I'm talking about human beings.
Oh, human beings.
There are human beings that listen to this radio show, see.
Well, why don't you give us your number or your email, Lorraine, and if somebody out there has got just that type of article because they're dying to upgrade to the Duo Core.
Okay. 265-5662.
265-5662.
And this,
live
that
here
sounded
on Zentech,
just like
not the flea market.
The flea market.
Well, it's technically oriented because we are into recycling. We do try hard to find people that have machines, people that want machines, and put them together.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And that would be this situation.
See? There you go.
Yeah, one more time, Lorraine.
530-265-5662.
And we will put it on the webpage under today's show. How's that?
Totally cool.
And I'll even throw this out there. If there's somebody further out from Western Nevada County down towards the Sacramento area, I travel down there often, and I'd be willing to be a conduit.
Oh, you are just the best conduit imaginable.
Now, presumably the Mac laptop needs to be something that is new enough to have OS X put on it, but the concept of adding memory to it would be tolerable, right?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. That's the qualifier for that one.
Thank you, dearies.
All right. Thanks
Lorraine.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. One thing that I did is I brought in a new little toy that I got. You know me and toys. It's called My Guide, and it's a little handheld GPS unit. It's got a great color screen. I'd probably tend to want to call that 4 inches, but it's probably a 3-inch screen. I tend to exaggerate.
I think it's like 3 inches, yeah.
And it has a GPS navigator. It can work as an MP3 player. We're inside right now, so it doesn't have a lot of, it doesn't tell me where we are, but it told me how to get to, quote, work today, because I asked it that when I left my house. And one of the nice things I was showing Paul when we were out there just before the show.
Went wild about it.
Is you can have it programmed to read to you in English and various other languages, including Deutsch.
Let's try that.
English, Espanol, Francais, and Italiano.
Try Italiano. Now, I want Italiano.
Now I'm going to have it. I'm going to go back and say, let's use a... Oops, I changed the thing, and I don't want to do that. I want to make sure... Oops, I don't want that. It has English UK and English US.
Uh-huh.
So we're still on English US. Now, you can choose voices, and right now I have it set to English US, and a young man named Jason speaks to us about if you're speeding and where to turn. So here we go.
In 50 meters, turn left.
That's
I'm
Jason?
I'm not sure if you got that. That's
Wait
Jason.
A minute. He said meters. That's not right.
They all say it in meters, although I have it programmed on when I actually get into the system, it tells me in miles, but I can have it say in meters.
Oh, I see.
And now here's Thomas from England.
I say.
In 50 meters, turn left.
He's a bit stuffy for me. Now here's Otto. You can guess
Otto.
Where he's from.
Biegen Sie nach 50 Metern links ab.
Shouldn't he have the word Dummkopf on there?
I don't know. I was thinking it would be really great to have one of these things and then sell an aftermarket plug-in for it to say, you idiot, turn right. You know?
Well, how about Jive or Klingon?
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
You'd be surprised the number of open source projects that are voice-enabled and come out with language renderings in. They always have Klingon and Jive. Hey, what's up there? You're going 50 meters. Well, I don't do that very well. And Klingon, I don't know what that sounds like.
Yeah, me neither. Here's Esmeralda from Spain.
A 50 metros gire a la izquierda.
And then we have Janet from France.
A 50 metros tourne à gauche.
And then
but she didn't go, huh.
And then here's Laura from Italy.
Tra 50 metri giri a sinistra.
Giri a sinistra, I love that.
Yeah, it's really a fun little unit. So you can set it up to be miles and feet. You can set the time and date format.
Who made it?
The company is MyGuide, and it actually came with, rather than built-in memory, it came with a 1 gig SD card with all of this information in it. So if you take the card out, it becomes a photo or MP3 player.
But it's not a Windows CE, what do you call it, pocket Windows, and it's not Palm. It's a proprietary thing, right?
Apparently, yes.
Interesting.
I haven't read all there is to know about it yet, but it seems to be fun.
I'll tell you what, Glenn, if I find that that thing's got a certain operating system, I'm getting one, and that is a lot of these small systems have Linux on board, a special version of Linux.
Okay, well, I'll let you take a look at it later and play and see.
Can I keep it?
No.
How much?
It was $199. It was on a Labor Day sale at Fry's.
Oh, bother.
It was one per...
Is the website myguide.com perhaps?
MyGuideGPS.com.
MyGuideGPS.com.
And it comes preloaded with the United States, Canada, Hawaii, and Alaska. However, in order to unlock Canada, Hawaii, and Alaska, you have to call them.
Is it down to street level here?
Yes, oh, very much so. Yeah, so let's go to the phones. We have two people patiently waiting. And caller, you are next on the Zentech Radio Show with Paul and Glenn. Hi.
You're up. It's you.
Oh, they hung there. Up. Sorry about that. We'll go to our next caller then. Hi, you're next.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, one of my coworkers was using my cube and noticed my keyboard has a couple of key caps missing.
Did you say cube?
My cube. Yeah, one of the guys.
You got a Mac cube?
Cube, yeah.
Cool.
No, not a Mac cube. In terms of
he has a cattle cube.
Cattle cube, yeah.
What's that?
He noticed that I have a couple of key caps missing on my keyboard.
Uh-huh.
I disabled the insert key and the caps lock key by removing them. And I hate those buttons. Well, he sent me a nifty little utility that does exactly that. It disables the inert, turns the caps lock into another shift key.
Wonderful, because I'm always doing that.
And it gives you the ability to turn them off selectively or turn them both on or off. And the URL for this little freeware
excellent.
Is brainsystems.com. I figured you'd appreciate that part.
Yep.
Caps unlock.
Brainsystems.com.
Caps unlock. Now, I'm going to ask another question once we get that set up. I'm going to try to go to that website here in a moment.
It only messes with the accessory keys, not the alphabet keys, right?
Correct. It only messes those two keys.
Right.
Caps.
Because otherwise you can imagine, Jeff, that you could turn off the enter key.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be mean?
What you can do is actually, even in Windows, I think, you can put on what they call Dvorak mapping.
Oh, true.
Which remaps the entire keyboard. And if you've learned Dvorak keyboarding, which I haven't, you can type on the keyboard, and anyone else that comes along cannot type on the keyboard. It's known as magic. As long as you don't look at the keytops.
I like that one. Don't mess somebody up.
Now, I have a question regarding the English language.
Uh-oh.
I have typed what seems to sound correct. Jeff called in to tell us of a utility to turn off cap locks and insert keys on your keyboard. However, as I remember being taught in English class, you put an in front of any vowel word or word that begins with a vowel. Why is it that we can't put an utility? We have to say a utility.
It's not the letter of the word. It's how the word is sounded out.
Okay, so I'm misunderstanding or misremembering the rule. It's how it sounds.
H depends on a hat, because it's a soft sound as opposed to a hard sound.
Right, you're correct. Yeah. When I say, well, I tend to pronounce A as ah, like a utility.
Well,
it's a stylistic
but
thing.
But instead of an understanding, we have an understanding. We don't have a understanding.
Correct.
Right, but you have a utility.
Yes.
Funny one, that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Because the sound is un. It's not a.
Right.
You, it's an
you.
On.
Well, we don't have a grammar program here on KVMR, so perhaps we'll give it a few minutes every week, and we'll bring Molly in. How about that?
There we go.
You know, for some reason, I think Lorraine could always help with that, but Jeff has done so very nicely today. So
the caps lock utility, excellent.
Yeah, I went to the website, and we'll have that in our show notes, a little add-in and disable
real,
caps
it's real
locks.
Quick to download, too, and real quick to run. So
a little shorty.
Yeah, it's real quick. As much as I'd like to, I haven't bothered to remove the keycaps from my laptop. So
that is funny.
Well, and you know what? On the laptop, even if you removed the cap, you probably would still manage to hit the little oomph.
Yeah, and certain keyboards have an internal plunger, and some have an external plunger. So it depends on which. You can tell I've done this to more than one keyboard.
Yes.
Of course, there's another thing you can do, Jeff. Spackling.
Well, no, the other one I did is I took off the insert key, broke off the plunger on the inside of the key, and put it back on the keyboard.
People hate that.
Can you tell I really don't like the insert key?
I can't. You know, the insert key I don't have much of a problem with because I typically know where the... Because I'm taking it you do that because of the delete key.
The home and delete and backspace are all in the same vicinity.
Mm.
Right. I typically don't miss there, but I always miss with caps locks.
Yeah.
So,
and this allows you to turn the caps lock back on when you need it. So. Wonderful.
It sits down on the system tray, I'm assuming, and allows you to control that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I like dirty tricks like that. We ought to give a few minutes a spot of time on each show for dirty tricks. My favorite dirty trick, Jeff, is to put two USB keyboards and two mice on two computers, but the other USB keyboard and mouse connected to the first computer on the other side of a table. So, the person on one side of the table is complaining that their keyboard and mouse is not working, and the person on the other side of the table is complaining that their mouse is going all over the screen and letters keep turning up, because you can actually drive the computer with two mice and two keyboards with the same letters and the same mouse pointer.
Oh, boy.
There's also a utility, so you can have two mouse and two pointers on the same screen if you really want to go nuts.
Well, I have a similarly related tech challenge, is that I have two VCR DVD combination units.
Yeah.
One of which the VCR doesn't work, and one of which the DVD doesn't work. So I have them stacked next to each other, run them through each other, so I can have one or the other. I'm too cheap to buy a new one.
Right.
I'm surprised you haven't figured out how to wire them together or something.
Well,
know.
The problem is they're both Toshiba brand.
Oh.
So the same controller does both. So you hit play.
And they both listen.
It plays the VCR on one while you're trying to play the DVD on the other. So I took aluminum foil and put it over the input, you know, window.
Oh, blinkers.
So it blinds it so you can't see it. And then my son called, and when I told him about it, he said, well, why don't you just set them both for VCR? And then if you have a blank VCR, it's not going to work anyway.
Well, there's nothing in it, so
exactly.
It won't trigger it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, duh.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, oh, there goes Paul's. So sometimes, you know, it takes, I won't say simple minds, but unencumbered minds that haven't been...
Polluted. Yeah.
To figure some things out. But what I tend to do is I tend to remember things and see things in my dreams. It's like I'll have a problem during the day, and then I dream about the solution at night.
Yeah.
And thankfully remember it.
The power of intuition.
Of my dreams. Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
While we're at it, as everyone knows, both Glenn and I enjoy using our personal digital assistants, which are Palm-based, connected with what Jeff's talking about. Out on the Internet is a fascinating utility called OmniRemote, O-M-N-I Remote, OmniRemote, or OmniRemote. If you load that into your Palm Pilot, there's probably an equivalent for the Windows Pocket Edition. On the Palm Pilot, look for OmniRemote, load it onto your Palm Pilot. Your Palm Pilot has an infrared port on it, and you can get your Palm Pilot to learn the infrared signals that come from your TV VCR controller. You can then turn around and it basically reprogrammed your Palm Pilot to be a remote control, hence the name Omni, meaning control everything. What it then means is, as somebody's messing around with the TV and you're sitting next to them, you point the Palm Pilot at their remote controller. It learns what type of remote controller it is. You are sort of harmlessly sitting back there with your Palm Pilot pointing at the TV, and you just casually switch channels, and they switch back, and you switch channels, and they switch back.
What's going on here? I don't know. I'm just playing my game.
That's
leave
right.
me alone. Don't bother me. You know, I'm getting into it.
Yeah, lots of fun. So there you go. OmniRemote, great toy. Lots of fun.
Okay. Looks like we do have another caller on hold, so let's see if we can go to that one. Oh, boy.
Wanted men, just not by the sheriff's department, I hope.
Good afternoon, caller. You're live at KBMR's ZenTech at 1:30 in the afternoon. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if... if there's any chance that that some digital photos could be recovered after they were mistakenly deleted.
From where were they deleted from?
I was using a small Pentax digital camera, and the photos are on like a little 1 gigabyte media card.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know how exactly I did this, but I hit some magic button and it said delete all photos. And I thought I was just deleting the one that I was trying to edit out. So I accidentally deleted everything.
It's gone off the card, is that true?
Yeah.
And you're sure there's not a copy of it on the PC?
Yeah.
Okay, what you can do with that is this... well, there you go. I made a wrong assumption, perhaps. This is a PC, not a Mac?
Yeah, this is it's on PC.
It's on a PC.
We usually run it from. Yeah.
Okay, and this is Windows XP that you've got?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, double-click on your recycle bin while the card is still in. Is the card in the camera or is the card in a card reader?
The card's in the camera.
Okay, leave it in the camera. Leave the camera connected. Make sure the camera's turned on.
Uh-huh.
Double-click on My Computer and look for a drive letter there. Is it on now?
No, I don't have my computer on. And
right.
I just,
that's the first step, is to make sure that it really is gone in the way that you think it's gone. And most modern digital cameras, if you open up My Computer, you'll see a funny drive letter there, and it will say something like Sharp Camera, or in your case, Pentax, or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And you may see the photographs there. Usually your software grabs hold of it, and you don't see that. So make sure the photograph isn't perhaps already on this funky drive letter with the camera turned on and so forth.
Okay.
It may really be there and you don't know that. Second thing is to double-click on your recycle bin to see if it's in there. It's a special folder. When you double-click on the recycle bin, you'll see most of the things that have been recently deleted.
Okay.
You drag them back out of the recycle bin if they look promising and leave them on the desktop and see if that's it.
Okay.
Or you can right-click on the recycle bin. Or excuse me. In the recycle bin, you can highlight all the program or all the files
and say restore.
And right-click and say restore.
Okay.
The difficulty with restore is it tries to put them back where they came from.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. The third thing is that Windows doesn't have a very good undelete utility. But if you're in luck, you can get on eBay a program called Norton SystemWorks, which includes an undelete facility.
You know, Paul, I tried that because, caller, surprisingly, I did exactly the same thing recently.
Mm-hmm.
And
did it work?
To Paul about it, I got Norton SystemWorks, and it didn't work because Norton SystemWorks doesn't want to look at any drive other than your C drive.
That doesn't
unless
sound right.
Other than your C drive?
I couldn't make it look at, because I have a little SD card plug-in in my laptop, so the card was actually in my laptop, not
yeah.
the camera.
Oh, you're not undeleting from the trash. You're undeleting when you go to the drive letter. I think
uh-huh.
what you do is you run the Norton SystemWorks, you run the undelete utility, and it's supposed to ask you which drive to undelete from.
It didn't. I tried to navigate to a drive other than the C drive. And
really?
It would go anywhere on the C drive, my documents, you know, documents and settings, but it wouldn't let me get to anywhere other than on the C drive.
Did the camera have a map drive letter? Did it have, like, drive F was the little memory card drive?
Hey, Paul.
For my case, it wasn't the camera because I had the card plugged in directly to the
computer.
It was in
the card reader.
Yeah, in the card reader.
So in Glenn's case, caller, that didn't work.
Okay.
But you can certainly give it a try. But try what Paul suggested, though. Plug the camera with the card back into the computer.
Okay.
And then use the look in the recycle bin and see if you see the files there and then drag them out.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't take more pictures until you've really
right,
exhausted all possibilities on that. Yeah.
Okay. So there is a possibility that I might be able to recover them.
Yeah.
Okay.
In theory, what happens when you delete a file, it doesn't really go away. The system just says, okay, I'm going to take this out of the directory so you can't see it. And what Norton will do is it'll say, oh, I see a file that's asterisk, blank, you know, file name,
mm-hmm.
where asterisk could be A or 1 or P. It replaces the first letter of the file.
Right.
And with Norton's undelete utility, you just either say restore or you put in the correct file name or file letter for the beginning of that, and it brings it back into your directory. But as Paul said, the secret is don't do anything else with that until you've totally exhausted all attempts to recover the files, because writing one new file could write over any of your old files.
Right. I should point out, actually, and this is a horrible thing to say, but in the future, when you've got photos and you don't trust your machinery not to blow it away, most little digital cards have got a tiny little switch on them that says lock.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and even if you make a mistake, it won't erase them off the card. Yeah, Glenn's looking at his.
And then you can't add anything to the card.
Know,
that's also true.
I've noticed that before, and it doesn't say anything about it being a lock, but
that's
I bet
exactly
you
what it
if
is.
I were to pull that down on my little card.
Yeah, but don't forget, when you put the lock on, that your camera may not clearly say that you've locked the card and you can't take pictures. That prevents accidents like this.
Right.
That's 20/20 hindsight, because I've done this too.
Yeah.
And part of what I said is, I said, oh, well, download these files and go ahead and delete them from the card. And I need to not say that in the future. I would need to say download the files, and then I'll delete them later when I know that I've got them safely downloaded.
Right.
So the answer is undelete if you can do it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. Bye. There's a little kiddies in the background there, so I'm sure there's valuable baby photographs. It may also be a solution to this, may actually well be that website, carbonite.com. We're going to test drive it and come back with a report next time, I think. The intention behind it is that these online backup sites do not need to get a complete copy of everything every time. Software is put on your machine that performs what they call synchronizing, where it checks what the difference has become. So if your My Documents contains 500 megabytes of files, and you add 1 megabyte of a new photograph, really the only difference between the online backup and your machine is that 1 megabyte. So typically the backup software will transfer 1 megabyte of data to make up the difference between the two, and that's called synchronizing. And my understanding is it runs in a system tray and looks at things periodically and synchronizes the two sides. The odds are pretty high that you're not going to be very happy if you've got anything except some sort of high-speed connection. There's a lot of people up here with satellite. I'd like to see how well it works over satellite, and the odds are probably quite well, because you're really sending stuff. It's not anything connecting back to your machine, so the odds are pretty high that it's going to work fine over satellite.
Okay. We do have another caller. Let's go ahead and take that. Caller, you're live on the air. Welcome.
Hi. I have a call. I'm calling something kind of related to the lady with the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Only what I did is I had a bunch of photos on the computer on the drive that had already been downloaded off the card from the digital camera.
Okay.
And my computer crashed. And I hadn't backed up the pictures. And I still have the thumbnail, or, you know, the little view.
Yeah.
But when I double-click on them in my Kodak software that I had on there for my pictures, they won't. I can't view them anymore.
Does it complain and say, can't find the originals?
It doesn't even say that. It just goes to a black screen. Normally, if I double-click on a thumbnail, it pulls up a full-size picture.
And this is Kodak EasyShare or PhotoShare or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, it's just something I got a long time ago when I first got my camera, which my kids tell me I was stupid to use anyway. But anyhow, so I've got these thumbnails, and I can't get... Is there any way, do you think, if I took the tower in somewhere, do you think there's a chance someone could recover them off the drive?
Well, now, is that drive still good, or did you have to... You say the computer crashed. Did it just, like, crash that for that moment, then you restarted it, and it was fine?
You know, it happened, like, almost... Terrible, I can't even remember. It's been, like, 2 years, almost, since this happened. And now I've got some other problems with the computer, and I really need to reformat it, but I've been putting it off because I don't want to lose these pictures if there's any chance.
You mean you lost them 2 years ago?
Almost.
Yeah. What we said about the other caller probably applies, which is the more time and stuff that gets done on the machine, the less likely the recovery is. What you can do is you can... Here's a way of doing this. This is Windows XP, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I usually assume it is. Do a search for any files that end in the letters... JPG.
JPEG.
Yeah. And it will bring up anything you can find on the hard drive, even if it's got funny broken names, as long as the broken names don't extend to breaking the extension. So you go right-click on the Start button, left-click on the word Search,
mm-hmm.
and you type in star.jpg.
Okay.
And I think you put in a comma and then star.jpeg. Some cameras save it as a four-letter extension.
Right.
You need to go to the advanced settings down below to say, look on the C drive and look inside folders and look at hidden and system files and folders.
Okay.
You will get a resulting window that shows you all files of type JPG, which is 90% of cameras out there.
Right.
And then you switch the view to thumbnails and you'll get an idea of what's actually there.
Oh, okay. But if I can't pull it up that way, does that pretty much...
Yes.
It means they're gone.
And especially 2 years out.
And if you had the computer reformatted at that time, that may be why.
Yeah, see, I don't remember.
Okay.
I have older children that tend to do things like that without any guidance.
Mm-hmm. So stuff begins with S, happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, well, good luck with that. And please report back to us, if you don't mind, and let us know what happens.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Guys.
Thank you.
I did hear reports of people in the South County, or south part of our area, getting a horrible power outage today.
Oh.
And that was the type of power outage you really don't want. And that power outage consisted of the power going out, 15 to 30 seconds later coming back, going out again, coming back and doing that three times in a row, and it's broken at least one person's computer I can think of, right, Joyce? It's the worst type of power failure, because when the power comes back, this particular machine rebooted itself, so it was in the middle of starting up when it went out again. The way of handling that is to go into what's called the BIOS on the machine. If you're not sure what the BIOS is, you maybe shouldn't be doing this. But if you do know what the BIOS is, it's where you get when the machine is first starting, and you hit sometimes F1, sometimes the delete key, sometimes F12. And there's a setting in there that says what to do after a power outage. And you really want your machine not to try to come back on after a power failure. If the power fails, when the power comes back, have the machine not restart itself. It'll okay. stay in the condition it got left with. And the other thing, of course, which I can't underline and underscore and floodlight and neon light and cover with hundreds and thousands sufficiently, is not just a surge protector, but a unit with a battery in it.
Yes.
That will withstand these outages like this.
UPS.
Yes,
uninterruptible
UPS.
Power supply. ABC
right.
happens to be a company that makes one.
Belkin makes others. I've been asked several times by different people, how do you pick a good one? And the answer is, if the box says on it there is a warranty to $5,000 or $10,000 at least against damage to equipment on the other side of this unit, I would
get
that.
That's probably a good
one. Probably a good one, yeah.
We do have another caller, so let's go to this. Caller, you're live on the... Oops, there we go. Caller, you're live on the air. Hi.
Hi, I have a cable question.
Yes.
I recently got a new computer, and it's a laptop, and I had a laptop, and it had a 4-pin FireWire on it. My new one does not. So I'm trying to transfer video from the video camera, which has a 4-pin FireWire DV, to my computer. Do they make a USB to FireWire
nope.
cable?
Nope, not that I've ever seen.
Okay, how would you go about getting that data from your...
I'm assuming this is a PC.
It's a laptop.
Right, but it's not a Macintosh.
No, no.
You can get a PC card FireWire port. In your laptop will be a kind of slot thingy in the side.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yep. The last I looked, Glenn, what do you think? $30 or $25 or $23 bucks?
FireWire tends to be more expensive for some reason. Mm. So I have never seen one of those. I know they do make them, and I'm glad, because I would have totally forgotten to mention that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that might be a good option.
Take now, a look at on the web, on Google, at they used to be called PCMCIA, the politically correct name for them now, because the other is unpronounceable, is PC card. Type in the two words, PC card is one word, and then the second word, FireWire, and you'll see various vendors selling these things.
Okay, sounds great.
It sounds like you're probably going to do more video editing, right?
Yeah.
So the odds are to get this stuff into your computer. Also, make absolutely sure that your laptop doesn't actually contain the teeny FireWire connector hidden away somewhere.
I've looked everywhere.
You know what I mean? It's the type of DV connector that's on the video itself.
Yeah. That's what my other computer had on it.
All right.
It's a very small one.
What I hate about those, by the way, as an aside, is that they're so small you can practically guarantee they're going to get damaged if you leave the cable hanging out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. I think the answer, in your case, is going to be a PC card to FireWire adapter.
Great.
When you want this kind of gear, you go to USBgear.com or shopper.com. Although it's USB Gear, the website, they do sell FireWire stuff.
Okay.
Hope that works for you.
Let me ask another question. Are you sure that the camera doesn't have a USB output on it?
Well, it does, but I can't get that to function. So
no, it's meant for the stills, because you've got a memory stick on this thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's ironic, but actually USB 2 would handle video just fine, but I've never yet seen a video camera that will put video through it. It's just so you can read off the little memory stick. Is this probably a Sony camera?
It's Canon.
Can a camera. Okay, so you can take stills onto it and you can do video.
That's correct. It'll transfer the stills.
Right, so it creates the impression it's going to do what you want, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
Sure.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye now. Oh, lines are quiet. Why not call us? 265-9555, where it's 83 degrees here at 401 Spring Street in beautiful Nevada City. If you're further away, you can call us on our toll-free number, 1-800-355. 5867, and a call came right in.
You know, I'm trying to answer it, and it wouldn't work. So let's go.
Now it's flashing fast.
Okay, well, now I'll try it. That didn't work.
They're probably getting your voice in there, Glenn.
Okay, there we go. Here we go.
Cool.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
Hey, what do you think about MP3 players? What ones do you like, or do you have a preference, or no?
Glenn just got one.
My new little GPS unit is an MP3 player also. So, gosh, you can get... You know, what I would recommend is whatever you get, make sure it will accept an external memory card so that you don't have to always plug your unit into the computer in order to get files onto it or off of it. Mm-hmm. That would be my recommendation. However,
I've been looking at the creative ones, and I like those because you can replace the battery and a little more less proprietary and all that.
Right, and that's probably a good idea because the batteries on these are probably going to be wearing out pretty quickly. They are lithium-ion rechargeable batteries, but you're also going to be using them a lot.
Right.
So that's a good thought because, like this one here, mine says it has a non-user changeable, you know.
What it means is you have to unscrew it to get at it.
Right.
Well, the caller's talking about a device called a Zen, is that right?
Yep.
Right up our street is Zentech. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a lawsuit going on, not surprisingly, between the company Creative that makes this thing and Apple that makes the iPod, because Zen is saying, Creative Labs says they got the idea first. They never hit the big time on the market, but they are actually very nice devices.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of these, right?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm not so familiar with them to know if there's any model that takes external media, but I'd agree with Glenn. In my case, I've got a Palm TX, which is not really an MP3 music player, but you can now get a gigabyte of storage for like $19 or less.
Yes. Wow.
So I use mine as a music player.
And surprisingly, with the Palm, with a good set of earphones, you can get some wonderful music coming out of that. Matter of fact, I have been buying from ZipLink. It's a company that makes little retractable cables, so you don't have cables running all over the place. I got some headsets from them that were retailing for $10, and I got them for $1 a piece.
They sound great.
They're excellent little headsets.
So you might sidestep the issue by not actually looking for an MP3 music player, but seeing what the devices you've already got out there, like a Palm device, whether it's got an earphone output on it. And storing music on that, right? That's an idea in case you want it to do more than just music playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I use,
anyway. I like this also because they record.
Right. Oh, and you can't do that on a Palm Pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, many of these will record. Their voice recorder.
There's a Palm Pilot hack. It doesn't do it by itself. Now, are you saying that the Creative Zen will record?
It has a built-in mic, and you can plug a mic in.
Now, is it good for
any audio source?
Now, is it good for music, or is it just one of these things that does okay for speech? Do you know?
Well, the internal mic is only great for speech, but the audio source, it says any audio source. So
really?
I have a feeling that's going to be the high bit rate and all.
Well, I hope so. I've seen some of these inexpensive devices where they mislead you into thinking you can record music because it's got a mic, but they're only good for speech. Any that are going to produce good music quality appear to start at about $300 or $400 rather than...
Well, I'm only interested in for bands and... making sure I have the arrangements right and all. The internal mic I know is inferior quality.
It may be a little bit more than that, so you want to make sure that the audio quality is okay even with a decent mic on it.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that one, but I get the feeling that it's not going to be too good.
Well, yeah, Creative, though, they seem to make things pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been happy with them in the past.
Okay, well, can you get back to us and let us know how that goes?
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye now.
Okay, actually, we have an announcement to make that is to be read once an hour, and this is about the Ralston fire near Forest Hill. The information was updated today, Monday, September 11th, at 9 a.m. The current acres is 5,000 acres, 15% contained. 1,341 firefighters assigned. Expect to see smoke plumes today as firefighters use fire in the northeast portion of the fire to create containment fire lines, so they're actually building fires to contain fires.
Right.
Seems paradoxical, but that's how it works. A public meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September the 12th, tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Forest Hill Middle School. Today's fire behavior is expected to be active. Forest vegetation is very dry and highly susceptible to wildfire. Fire indexes used to protect fire behavior are at the highest levels ever recorded in some areas of the fire. Embers have been seen traveling 3/4 of a mile in the 15-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and there are 3 minor injuries as of today. 290 structures are threatened and 200 outbuildings. All these areas are currently closed to the public to facilitate fire suppression activities. It doesn't mention it here, but actually it does, excuse me. Pascal of the community website ubernet.com is very up to date on this stuff. So check out ubernet.com, one word, ubernet, and then a period, com, for more information about the Ralston fire and the others.
Sounds perfect. Let's go to our next caller, and it's 1:50 in the afternoon. Caller, you're live on the air here at Zentech. Welcome.
Oh, hello. Yeah, my name is Dave. I'm down in Marysville.
Hi, Dave.
I haven't tuned in a while, and I was just curious to know if you guys are podcasting.
Yes.
You are. Okay.
It's in its early stages, and thanks for reminding us. Check out audio.kvmr.org. And also, in the case of Zentech, please check out our website, zen.kvmr.org, and then a /, and the word archive.
Cool.
It's not really public yet. We're still experimenting, and it appears to be working. If you go to the main KVMR website, you'll see a couple of links there about the news podcasts and Studio 401 and the talkies, which are what the station does, which is musical interviews, news, and current events talkies and stuff.
I wonder, do you guys plan on having it set up to where people can subscribe through, like, let's say, iTunes?
Exactly. That's exactly the case. If you go to audio.kvmr.org, there's a link up at the top, and I figured out a way when you click it that if you have iTunes 4.8 or newer, it will automatically launch iTunes, automatically subscribe you, and download the latest show.
I see.
That's intended for general KVMR programming. In the case of Zentech, we're experimenting at zen.kvmr.org/archive.
Oh.
So it's early days yet.
For example, I subscribe to some other podcasts as well. Mm-hmm. And one way that I was able to do it is actually to go to Apple's iTunes store.
Right.
And I thought, in some cases, I could find the podcast and subscribe to it there. And then when you guys, of course, come out with a new show,
mm-hmm.
then it automatically downloads to my iTunes library.
Right. So what this means is that although you can find podcasts underneath the iTunes store, most of those podcasts are free and some of them subscription, but it doesn't include all the podcasts that there are. So we've created a special link, and it will do the job for you. And if people out there are not aware what podcasts are, it might be an opportunity now. You do have to please make sure that you do have iTunes from iTunes.com. It must be newer than 4.8. And visit audio.kvmr.org. The reason it's not really public is it's kind of ugly. It hasn't had any stylistic work done on it. And we'll put a link on today's show about that, too.
If your show will show up if I go to the iTunes store under podcast.
No, it won't.
No.
Are you planning on that?
I haven't looked into it, but typically that would be a cross-section of stuff. For example, the National Gallery in London has got a podcast of their guided tour of the art gallery. So they've got some wonderful stuff out there, but it's only a fraction of everything there is. It would be a good idea to get it on there. But
there's a whole section of the podcast for technology, computer stuff.
Well, thanks for letting us know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. And if listeners out there hear things we might like to know or need to know, we are zen@kvmr.org. That's a good clue. I'm going to check that out right now. Well,
awesome.
After the show.
Dave, thanks
sir.
For calling in.
Yeah, thanks Wonderful. For the heads up.
Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye-bye now. We'll go ahead on to our next caller. You're live on the air with Zentech. Welcome.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Okay, hi. I was in motion when you mentioned the power outage in South County.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I was just coming home from Forest Hill. And do you know how far South County?
No.
Alta Sierra? Because...
It was the Alta Sierra area.
Oh, God.
But I'm in Alta Sierra, and I did not experience that, I don't think. If it did, it happened before I woke up.
I'll tell you specifically where it was. It was down Labar Meadows Road. I don't remember the exact road that comes off there, but I had a panicked client calling up saying not just once, but three times this thing recycled.
Okay, could you, I'll take the answer off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about the BIOS thing again? Because I was listening to that.
I will try, and we'll also put show notes up for you. How's that?
Okay.
At zen.kvmr.org.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A quick reminder is, if you don't know what the BIOS is, you've never seen it, it might be a good idea not to mess with it. But if you feel comfortable getting into this pre-Windows screen where you configure the machine, the PC itself, the settings vary between machines, so there isn't actually a standardized way of letting you know how to do that. However, if Glenn writes that in the notes, I will put it on zen.kvmr.org under shows and look at today's show. And also a nice function of this website, which is why we finally settled on the Joomla software, is everything is immediately searchable. So if we talk about power recovery or system power loss, you can do a search in the little search box and it will find it no matter where it is on the site. And it usually takes us about 24 hours to get the notes in there. I do some of them, Glenn does some of them.
Sometimes, like now, I'm going to go push save. Sometimes I don't push save and lose them. So we do have one more caller. So let's take this caller before we finish up with the show today. We do want to remind folks that you are listening to KVMR FM Nevada City. And we also want to offer thanks out to all of you who support every hour of programming at KVMR. And specifically for this hour, we want to thank Ohmsoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Hello, is that
Hello,
me?
Hello, that's you.
Hey, how fun. I have a dead computer. It was a hand-me-down from an Intel computer that my brother worked there, and it's got a SCSI hard drive.
Whoa.
And what I would like to do is be able to pull some of the files, our pictures and some of our documents, off of that drive and put it onto our new computer. Do you have a solution for that that's easy?
Thanks. How old is the old machine, did you say?
The old machine, oh boy, it's probably 10 years.
Does it have a, is the SCSI controller on the motherboard, or is it an add-on card in the back of the machine?
I'm looking at it right now just to see what it looks like. The thing plugs in to the, let's see, where's the little hard drive?
No, it is an internal hard drive. But
an internal controller as well.
Yes, it could be an internal controller.
It looks like it plugs directly into the motherboard.
Not an easy solution. You can go out and get, for your new computer, a PCI internal SCSI controller card.
You know what I'm thinking? You said the machine's 10 years old, so it probably does not have USB. Is that true?
No USB port on there.
And how dead is it? Does it even light up?
Barely. The people that I brought the thing to said that the motherboard is dead on it.
Okay.
And this is... My brothers both work for Intel, and those guys go through computers like some people go through garbage bags. And so this was a hand-me-down, and it just died. But
okay.
I've even checked with those guys down there to see if they have any interface cards. But that's what your recommendation is.
Yeah, Glenn's suggestion is going to be that you're stuck with that, given that the motherboard has had it, which is you need to find a SCSI interface card that plugs into some other computer, like your new one.
Uh-huh.
Then attach this hard drive. And if you're in luck, you shouldn't need to reconfigure a whole lot. And you will then see the SCSI drive turn up as an extra drive letter, all with a qualifier, if you're in luck, if it's a good day, and if the sun and the moon are lined up the right way.
Bear in mind,
I got to go out and look.
We don't want the computer to boot from that drive. You just want to be able to access that
drive
via my
documents.
All I
want to do is access it, and I only need to access it one time. Just
gotcha.
To download the stuff, and then I don't need it anymore.
Then you can
pull the whole thing out.
Target practice.
Yeah, exactly.
But look on
like
eBay for a card.
That's a good suggestion.
The
SCSI
stuff, again, is expensive.
Used to be. It's gone down. Used stuff has dropped a lot, so you may be in luck. And somewhere out there, there may be USB to SCSI adapters. I've never had a reason to use one. If you're in luck, it means you don't need to open up your new computer. You'd buy this enclosure, plug the SCSI drive into it, and the other end is USB. This is pure speculation. I'm sure somebody makes one out there.
So what you would want to look for is...
Maybe if any of your listeners have an old SCSI interface card, they could call me.
What's your phone number and name?
Area code 530-642-9013. My name is Tim. And if anybody has one of those out there that they would either loan me or they just want to get rid of, I would come find the thing.
Excellent.
And just once again, all I want is my documents and my pictures. We've got pictures, you know, for years of our family on the thing, and it would be really nice to get those off and put it on our new computer.
Boy, that's okay. The third loss of photos this show.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thanks for calling in. We do have to go. We've got to finish up the show. We've started
Thank you very
off
much,
with the
Glenn,
combination Zentech.
Everybody.
Flea market show, and we ended up with a combination Zentech flea market show. So,
okay.
Tim, thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care, folks.
Bye.
We're booming away and off to make space for the wonderful Jimmy Cardin's Rock and Roll Party, which goes on crazy style here for another couple of hours with that gentleman. Should we do the music? Should we play? What should we do, Glenn?
Did he bring a CD in?
No, we'll do some stuff. The website, once again, finally, zen.kvmar.org. He's Glenn, and I'm not, and we are at zen@kvmr.org. Take care. Bye.
He's Paul. Bye.